Line Up Logic. You are listening to the Fantasy Fade Route. I'm your host, Mike Alexander. Joining me tonight, only Jason Moschel. We are short a man. Kwafo Adarkwa is otherwise detained, but we will persevere. Jason, how are we doing tonight?
What's going on?
We'll have to make sure to get in some extra Eric Ebron love just to make Kwafo feel comfy.
Doyle's back, but Ebron's still got his touchdown.
Yeah, that's like his role. He's even if he only gets like three targets, he'll score a touchdown for you.
Yep.
But yeah, so not the biggest week slate wise. We'll go game by game here. Any impressions from last week that you want to fire off before we move on to the games?
Not really. Just the trade deadlines here.
Couple
moves today. I think Arizona is switching back to their old defense.
Really?
They looked pretty good last week. If they're going to switch back to the old defensive style, that's going to be really good for them. So.
Yeah, that's interesting because Wilkes is a defensive coach, so his scheme is kind of what got him hired. So, but hey, if it works, it works. Not every game is going to be against the 49ers, though.
Yeah, true.
For me, it's that the Chiefs are pretty legit. I know the Broncos are a fairly compromised team at this point, but you know it's still a divisional game, and they went out there and put them away in a competitive game. So. You're not feeling too comfy if you're an AFC team right now. Even the mighty Patriots probably aren't feeling too good, even though they did take KC down at home. Yeah, you sweating a little there as a Patriots fan, Jason?
Nah.
Yeah, you guys don't ever really have much to sweat about.
Yeah, we got a lot of talent on the roster, and Drew Brees and Bill Belichick, they just find ways to win. So,
all right, so let's dive into this week, kicking off with the Thursday night game. Ugh, they got a couple of good games early in the year, which they typically try to do, but the Thursday games just turn into such an abysmal affair as the season goes. And you got Oakland, San Francisco on tap for what is probably going to be a pretty snoozable affair. But let's give it the fade, lock, and sleeper treatment. I will handle fades and locks for the most part, and you'll stick with your sleeper role there for anybody new to the program or unsure what we're doing. I'll kick it off with a lock here. I would say lock-wise, you're probably okay locking in George Kittle. That 49ers passing game kind of has to stay short with C.J. Beathard. He's not a guy who can go downfield very easily. I'm not locking anything on the Raiders side. What about sleepers? What do you have there for us?
And really the only thing I got right here is probably Jalen Richard. Doug Martin looked okay. He's still got his fumbling issues.
Yeah, his yardage was fine, but you know.
Yeah. Thing he also got stuffed at the goal line a couple times there, but Jalen looked pretty good, and he's going to take that passing role. I think the Raiders are a pretty inept team.
Yeah, I mean, you would figure that they're clearly out of it. They've signaled they're out of it. They traded Amari Cooper, their best player. You know, why not see what you can give Richard volume-wise? You know what Doug Martin is at this point.
Well, you should, but it's also Gruden, so.
Yeah, he's taking over the GM role there as well. Any love for Marquise Goodwin? He went 155-1 this week.
Yeah, he should be good. Number one receiver, super fast.
And that Raiders secondary, they've been better this season, but they're beatable.
Yeah, and they're slow. It's a slow secondary. So whenever you have a speedster like that, I mean, he's the primary target on that offense too. So
Yeah, we'll see. They're playing some more young guys these days. So that also could bode well for some confused coverages or getting beat there. Fade, yeah, I mean, plenty to fade. Neither backfield does too much for me. Breida's still fighting through the injuries. I don't think you could trust any of the 49er backs. This was supposed to be Jordy's time to shine over on the Raider side. That didn't happen. Prospects,
yeah,
go ahead.
that was weird because he got like four targets the first two series or something like that, and then like was just like nothing the rest of the game.
I mean,
Bad coaches are bad coaches.
yeah, that doesn't, don't know what's going on there. Maybe just trying to be too smart or what. And it's a team that really needs to throw the ball. I think Gruden has some trust issues with Carr, so not shocking there. So yeah, I mean, my official fade, I'd probably say my official fade would be Matt Breida. I know you can beat the Raiders on the ground, but I still don't trust him with his injury woes, and they're probably going to limit him a little bit as well.
Yeah, with Shanahan too, like he's just kind of like rotating through those four backs. Like
Right.
Juszczyk is in there every game,
Yeah, Juszczyk is really killing everyone's value because he's doing the passing work.
but then like it's Breida Mostert 1 week, and then it's Breida Morris the next week, and then it's Morris Mostert the next week. Like you can't like peg it down to like one guy that you're gonna get any kind of value out of.
Yeah, I got burned on Mostert this week with some DFS and season-long shares trying to get a little too cute, I suppose. But it was a good matchup versus the Cardinals. We'll see, though. All right, moving on. That's enough about this West Coast snoozer. We've got the Jets visiting the Dolphins. Some possible rain in the forecast here. The line is 45. Miami, a 3-point favorite. So for a lock. Ooh, I would throw a lock on Isaiah Crowell. I think that the way to beat the Dolphins is to run the ball. I don't think the Jets are shy about trying to run the ball, so given that Crowell is really their only option in the backfield, I know they gave Trenton Cannon a little run. That was not very effective. Elijah McGuire is back. Who knows where he's at coming off of that injury. He could do a little bit in the passing game, maybe. They're down so many receivers. They got guys like Andre Roberts running around out there this last game. So they should stick to a run-heavy game plan. That would make Isaiah Crowell a lock. What do you got sleeper-wise?
Well, the rookie Chris Herndon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think the Dolphins are susceptible to the tight ends. They've been a little bit better so far this year than I thought that they were going to be. But Chris Herndon, he's got three touchdowns the last 3 weeks.
He's a legit target, and
Yeah,
they're
he's
like we
probably the best out of the. Probably the best performing out of the three out of the rookie tight ends this year, except for maybe Dallas over there in Philly. But Dallas has, Ertz in front of
You sounded like Forrest Gump there for a second, Jason. You got
them.
Dallas, who's in Philly. Yeah, Herndon, though, yeah, definitely. I throw him on the cheat sheet every week when I get down into the punt section because there's nothing there at tight end when you talk punts. So a guy who can catch a touchdown each week is definitely doing it for you.
Yeah, I
I like
mean,
that. Yeah,
tight
yeah.
ends this year have been a wreck. Like, you have like one or two, maybe three, like Kittle, Ebron's been good, Kelce, Ertz, and then maybe you can throw OJ Howard in there too. He's been pretty consistent, but
Yeah, I'm a
once you
huge
get
OJ
outside of
Howard
that.
fan, but that offense is just terrifying with Winston at the helm. But we got Fitzmagic back. We'll get to that.
He can throw four interceptions in the first half and five touchdowns in the second, so.
Yep. Fade for me. I would fade DeVante Parker. I wouldn't chase the big week that he had. That was kind of a game flow situation where the Texans just give no Fs and just run a ton of plays. They take a ton of shots deep, scored a lot of points. So that kind of played perfectly into Parker being one of the very few healthy wide receivers the Dolphins had. Kenny Stills could be back. Amendola, Jakeem Grant's gonna mix in there. So I'm not gonna chase Devontae Parker. That's a mistake in my opinion. You agree on that one?
Yeah, Devontae Parker has had plenty of time to be good, and he shows like little flashes every once in a while, and you get your hopes up, and he just goes back to being Devontae Parker. So,
Indeed. All right, moving on. We've got a NFC clash here between two playoff hopefuls. The Falcons visiting Washington. 47 is the line. Washington, a 1.5 point favorite. Tough to lock in too many of the Falcons on the road, but the Washington offense has even fewer lockable players. But the one guy they do have faith in is Adrian Peterson. And, he's shown that he's got something left in the tank. Chris Thompson injured either a different part of his rib or the other side of his rib cage. It wasn't exactly clear, but it doesn't sound good for a guy who's had a hard time getting onto the field and was obviously not as effective as he is when he's 100%. So Peterson probably gets a little extra passing work because of that. So I'd lock him in against a defense that's been shredded by running backs so far this season. What are we talking sleeper wise here, Jason?
oh man, I actually like Chris Thompson, but yeah, that injury, like just him just constantly getting beat up is
Yeah, I mean that's the story
just
of Chris
scares me
Thompson.
off
Like,
that.
when he's 100%, he's an absolute dynamic playmaker. When he's dinged up, he just loses a step.
Jordan Reed, 5.6K, and what did he get? I think he got like 10 targets last week.
Yeah, for like 30 yards.
What was it?
It was
P8, where is it?
I mean, in a PPR, you're okay with it because, like I said, tight
Yeah,
end is
it was
a
like 10
nightmare.
points or something like
Yeah, he
that.
got you 10. He's got to score a touchdown soon, right? The Falcons linebacking core can be an issue. Obviously, the running backs, that's part of why they're such a good play, but that translates to tight end as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, 12 targets, 7 receptions, 38 yards, no touchdowns. But yeah, I like him going up against against the Falcons. And I mean, I don't ever remember a time when Jordan Reed was 5.5K. I said it a couple weeks ago, like I'm on Jordan Reed watch, just like I'm on Julio watch with like the touchdowns and having one of these big, huge blow up games.
Yeah, they
And
both have it in them.
this is definitely a spot like at home, against the Falcons is definitely a spot where he could have one of those games, especially coming off that disappointing stat line, 7 receptions, 38 yards. That's ridiculous. That's like was it Nelson Aguilar's first week or
Yeah, very,
whatever?
very Aguilar-esque. For me, a fade. I would fade Alex Smith here, and normally I probably, you probably wouldn't be that interested in Alex Smith, but against the Falcons, who have been giving up a lot of fantasy production, I think people could get a little too cute. You saw what he did against the Saints in New Orleans. They're just not going to push the ball downfield. Maybe he scores a touchdown on the ground and saves his fantasy value, but just no need. He hasn't exceeded 200 passing yards for 3 straight weeks. Part of
Yeah.
that's the receiver situation, but I would be fading Alex Smith and not trying to overthink it.
It's Alex Smith. Back
Yeah.
to back to the good old Alex Smith we knew.
Yeah. And Jay Gruden, he deserves to shoulder part of that blame because this is the guy he wanted. He went out and got him. He's either calling the plays that aren't pushing the ball, or he's allowing his quarterback to do that, go into a shell. So one way or the other, he's got to create some fantasy production. I don't know, they're in first place, maybe he doesn't. We'll see how long that lasts, though. All right, moving on. Detroit Lions visiting the Minnesota Vikings. 40, I'm sorry, 90, 49.5 is the line.
95.4.
Minnesota is a 5.5 point favorite. Hey, you know, the way the Vikings have been giving up points, it could be a 90-point game. Division rivals here. A lock. I think you got to lock Kirk Cousins in. You can lock Adam Thielen in as well. The Viking run game is pretty limited. You know, Latavius Murray's been better than I thought he would be. I know you can run on the Lions, but the bread and butter of that offense is still Adam Thielen. So Cousins to Thielen, lock that in. Not too hard to do there. What are we talking for a sleeper?
I like Lat Murray again this week. He's been pretty much putting up like 20-ish fantasy points per week, getting into the end zone consistently.
Yeah, touchdown production does it, you know, and it's because like no one wants to roster Latavius Murray because he's Latavius Murray,
Yeah, exactly.
but he's
And
scoring touchdowns.
I think I put a claim in for him because I need a bye week fill in, and he was still on the waiver wire on one of my leagues. I was
Yeah,
like, well, okay.
you could do worse.
But
But like the,
yeah.
I mean, I keep coming back to, you know, I don't think he's a great football player or even a good football player. And like this is a, when he's in a spot that seems like a smash spot, that's where he lets you down. You know, the Lions
Yeah.
on the road, bad run defense. It's going to turn into like an aerial show and he's going to get zero work or something. But
Yeah, that's I mean, that's always a concern with the with these guys. I mean, but yeah, for his price, like if you can get
right.
me 20 points, like
Yeah.
give me 20 cheap touches and give
With
me a
the running back
touchdown.
landscape too, that's
Yeah, it's a little bit rougher this week than it has been. To find,
Yeah,
I
these
mean,
big bye weeks are tough.
yeah, Latavius is probably gonna be like the cheapest guy that I would feel comfortable rostering.
You have any love for TJ Jones filling in for the newly traded Golden Tate? My understanding is that he's the guy who should soak up most of those snaps. He's done a little bit in the past. He's a decent receiver, and you know, Marvin Jones is not a guy who's probably at this point going to soak up too much volume. Kenny Galladay could, you know, get some, but somebody's got to fill that underneath role. They don't have a tight end.
They have Luke Wilson.
Hey, Luke Wilson is a stand-up guy. I don't know if you saw he sent like some either pastries or a cake or something to the Seattle Seahawks media staff, given that they were playing them.
Nice.
He said like thanks for always treating me fairly or something. That was good to see. But
No, that's probably something with TJ. That's probably something I'll just like, I'll like kind of dig into the practice reports and see like
yeah.
who's getting the snaps and stuff like that. But right now, probably the only person I'd even touch on that side would be Kenny G and Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones coming off that monster game last week.
Yeah.
Don't know what the Vikings defense is going to look like. They've been a little bit beat up and kind of getting into a little bit more of a shootout and shoot more shootouts that they want to, feel comfortable with. So
Yeah, you'd prefer to attack them through the air. So a fade for me would be either of the Lion running backs, Blount or Johnson. They're still in a timeshare. You still have got the threat of Blount vulturing touchdowns, but there's no reliable path to that, so you can't really use Blount on anything more than a Hail Mary play. So I would fade that. The Vikings at home, pretty tough to run on.
yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Next
that's
game.
what was the New Orleans last week.
Yep.
They like Kamara got the two touchdowns against the Vikings, but he went for 45, so like 76 total yards.
Yeah,
and
not
then,
a lot of rushing yards to be had.
And Ingram had 63 on, you know, right about 100 total yards. So that's not a lot for those guys. Those guys usually crush teams, you know.
Yeah, coming into the year, I thought they were one of the top run defenses, and you know they're starting to get back to playing better defense. I mean, the Saints are a really tough offense to contain. So, all right, next game on the docket, the Chiefs are visiting the Browns. 51.5 is the line. KC favored by 9 points. I know a lot of people are chasing the Cleveland side here with the whole narrative of, you know, they got rid of Hugh, the players are going to feel liberated. I don't know that that's the case. Like, I don't know why. Like, Hugh is the easiest coach to play for. Like, he let you sit out if you said you were hurt. He's a player's kind of coach. He didn't throw anybody under the bus ever, at least player wise, typically. So, you know, now you're going to Greg Williams. Like, that guy is like the football Gestapo. He's, you know, like, this is the guy from Bountygate. That's aggression is the only thing he knows. I would not want to play for Greg Williams as my head coach or my defensive coordinator or my position coach, anything. So I think the Chiefs smash him here, but as far as a lock goes, I mean, he's the most lockable player of all of the locks. That's Pat Mahomes. That's an easy one. Check it off. What about a sleeper, Jason?
I kind of talked about Duke last week, and man, that I mentioned that about how Todd Haley just kind of goes with one back, and I thought that, like, last week's game, they should just go with Duke Johnson, basically. And he was, like, really good in the first quarter, and then you didn't see him the whole rest of the game.
Yep.
And yeah, but I'm going to go right back to it because this is just another Duke Johnson game.
Right, like, he has these games, you know, as the year goes, he catches a bunch of passes and manages to score a touchdown, and that's the time that he's usable.
Yeah, and this is like, I mean, and we'll see if Greg Williams can use the talent that he has on his roster. I don't have faith that that will happen.
Right.
But,
you know, and I don't really know very much about, I forget his first name, but his last name is Kitchens. He was their running backs coach, former Alabama quarterback. His nickname is Thick. He was a huge quarterback, like just very, very stocky for a quarterback. And, you know, now he's the offensive coordinator. I got no idea what this offense is going to look like. It's hard to tell. Seems like a good guy by all accounts. You know, wish him well, but it kind of feels like a Jim Tomasula situation where, like, the organization knew that things were sunk, so they just kind of promoted the nice guy, and that may actually be a disservice to him because he could get exposed for a lack of creativity, etc.
Yeah, we were talking a couple weeks ago about, like, what's Baker's issue.
Yeah.
And he seems like I tried to, like, rewatch a lot of the Browns games, and it seems like he's kind of like doing like the Trubisky from last year,
mm-hmm.
where he's just like holding on to the ball like way, way too long, trying to scramble around,
mm-hmm.
and then
sacks.
Just like chunking it down the field, you know? Yeah, it's just like leading lots of sacks, way too many turnovers, like, the first half of every game, he's just like overthrowing everybody consistently, just trying to chunk it down there.
Yeah, and
these guys should watch some Jets games and learn how to, like, develop a quarterback. Like, Darnold's in there throwing like 5-10 yards
passes
down the field, like, just getting a rhythm, getting, you know, and then whatever, a couple weeks ago, then they start, like, chunking it down the field to Robbie Anderson and whatnot, you know?
Right, yeah, establish a rhythm. And maybe it will help, you know, going back to kind of a basics and you know, simpler kind of system. I know Todd Haley is not certain player's favorite coach, especially Roethlisberger. So, you know, maybe he was holding them back as well. But that said,
hey, also Njoku is like in a great spot again. He was last week, and he had one target in the end zone that was basically became a non-target because of a penalty. So even in the box score, he didn't have a target, even though he actually did have one in the end zone. But after putting up that zero, people might be a little bit scared off of him.
And, right. Yeah, I don't mind going back to Njoku. Like you said, people got burned last week. That's always a spot I look to capitalize on. Because he was a little too chalky. He was getting his ownership was getting too high. I know there's not a lot out there, but he's still only a second year player in a fairly struggling offense. You can't expect the world out of him.
Yeah.
As far as fade goes, you can't fade anybody on the Chiefs side. Like they're literally anyone on this team can catch a touchdown. Like Demetrius Harris can catch a touchdown. you know, DeMarcus Robinson can catch a touchdown. Like Anthony Sherman can catch a touchdown. Yeah, you can't fade a single person given what this team has done. So over on the Cleveland side, you got a little bit more out of Anthony Callaway this past week that could, you know, get people to want to look his way. I would be careful there. He's been very inconsistent, so he'd be my fade. Not a huge name, but a fade for me nonetheless.
Lots of targets, lots of drops.
Yep. And I was very high on him when he came out after the Josh Gordon trade, and it's hurt. So we'll see what happens. But next game, Tampa Bay visiting Carolina, 54.5 the over-under. Carolina is a 6.5-point favorite. Carolina really doing a lot with a little, especially on their offensive line. It's just been a disaster. Like they've lost time from pretty much every offensive line position. You know, getting by with gum and tape. So, you know, hats off to them. I know with Cam Newton, you can afford to not have the best pass blocking. He can just tuck it and run, which he's definitely shown he's not afraid to do. The Bucks, they're not the hardest team to pass on, especially on the road. So if I'm going to lock anyone in, it might as well be Cam Newton. What about a sleeper out of this one, Jeremy?
Jeremy?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jason. I've been wanting to call you Jeremy all show because I was going to see if Jeremy could get on with us. But
oh man, I really like DJ Moore and Chris Godwin here, the two cheaper wide receivers, especially if Torrey Smith sits out again. DJ Moore, first round pick,
really starting to come on.
The first wide receiver picked in the draft. And yeah, he's really started turning on, and this Bucks defense is about as trash as they can come.
Yeah, worst secondary in the league.
With Fitzpatrick chunking the ball on the other side. It's going to be lots of turnovers and lots of touchdowns.
Yep.
I don't know what the Bucks are doing. I guess Dirk Cutter's just trying to save his job. But Fitzpatrick played, the first 3.5 games, right?
Yeah.
And he was, like, leading the NFL in yards and second in touchdowns behind Mahomes.
Yep.
And then so then they bench him because he had a bad half. And then Winston over, like, the last, whatever, 3 weeks. Let me find it. Yeah, over the last 3 weeks. Leading the NFL in yards, only 5 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Those eight interceptions are
right.
What did he have? 4. Half those were in that one half or 3/4.
Yep.
And then going back to Fitzpatrick, when you go back and forth like that, you can't build any consistency. And right. It's like, man, you just got to ride it out with one guy. And it's not like either one has been like extremely terrible. But
Yeah, and it's, you know, that whole coaching staff, their jobs are obviously on the line here. They should have, you know, sold off guys like D-Jax, but they didn't because of that, which is really short-sighted. But you know, I guess as an owner, you got to let it go if you don't want to make moves right now. And yeah, the Winston Fitzpatrick thing, like asking Jameis Winston to be an aggressive quarterback is a recipe for turnovers. You have to know that. So, you know, they were in a sticky situation where he was coming off a suspension. He's their former number one pick. They kind of have to move him back in there. But, you know, now having just as little patience with him, like you're saying, you know, that it's a lot of those picks kind of came in the one game. So, the one thing I did see, if he's healthy to start next season, they could cut him and get a, you know, a big cap hit off the books, which may be part of the thinking, you know, but given that like this entire front office could be gone, that's a bit of a stretch.
yeah, it's
So.
just that both those quarterbacks are like they're kind of the same. Like you watch them and you're like, oh dude, like it's like MVP style. Like, you know, this dude could be an MVP candidate, and then like 2 plays later, like scrambling around and just chucking it to a safety, you
Right.
know?
Yeah. As far as the lock of the game, I'm sorry, we're on fade now, right? We did lock and sleeper. The fade of the game, Peyton Barber could tempt some people, with Ronald Jones being out a couple weeks here. Peyton Barber's not a good running back. Like he'll soak up the volume, but the Panthers are a pretty stout defense. You're not gonna run on them very well. You're not gonna throw to your backs very well. No need to mess with Peyton Barber.
What do you think about CMC in this one?
CMC's got such a floor in any PPR scenario. Yeah, he's always in play. Let's see, is Gerald McCoy back in yet? I know he missed some time there. Take a quick gander on the Google. Won't play Sunday. That was the 26th, so I guess he's going to be questionable. You know, without him, I'm not scared of this run defense. They've lost a couple linebackers there. Right, so I'd fire CMC up.
Yeah, the only thing with CMC that I'm always concerned about is like his ceiling, just 'cause Cam
Yeah.
vultures the touchdowns
Right.
frequently.
Yeah, that's a problem. But you know, if you're on DraftKings, it's a little tougher. But I'm sorry, on FanDuel, it's a little tougher. On
For
DraftKings with the
sure.
PPR, you know, he could catch 10 balls and make up for that missed touchdown, and then some. All right, next game on the slate, the Steelers visiting the Ravens. Big AFC North matchup here. 47.5, the over/under. Baltimore, a 3-point favorite. Interesting one here. The Steelers getting it done with offense. The Ravens getting it done with defense, though they got smashed last week by the Panthers that we just got done talking about. So, you know, I think the Steelers have a little more offensive firepower. You know, obviously they don't have Cam Newton, which is a you, like all week you kept hearing Ravens quotes about like how hard it is to deal with Cam, and like he just seemed like he was in their head. You know, given that they're an AFC team and they don't maybe play him every year, it's a different thing to have to figure out. So maybe that had something to do with it. But in this one, you know, I think the Steelers need a win here. The Ravens need a win here. This one's probably going to feature some offense either way, any way you slice it. As far as the lock, I think you're starting to see Antonio Brown get back to being his old self. You know, just some early season variance. He, you know, when Roethlisberger gets in trouble, he's kind of gone back to looking at Brown. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster still getting a good share of targets, still working underneath, but the touchdowns have kind of dried up for Juju and AB is starting to be the one to get him. The Ravens, you know, as far as their secondary, I think they're good, not great. I think they get a little too much credit, so AB would be my lock. Who are we talking sleeper-wise, Jason?
Yeah, I like Alex Collins in this one. He out-snapped, out-touched Buck Allen. Buck Allen just kind of, like, comes in and does Buck Allen things.
Yeah.
But Alex Collins is... You watch him, he looks good. Man, just the Ravens. I don't know.
Their offense is so like sporadic. You don't know who's going to be good what game. They've got so many options at every position. Like,
yeah,
including
but
tight end.
that tight end carousel is a wreck.
Yeah.
But I really like the Steelers on the road. You know, Big Ben road woes. Like. Lev Bell always had like great games on the road because they would just kind of go into their shell and just run and hammer the ball. And the Ravens are the team that's better equipped to play that style of game.
Collins had a pretty good game against them last year, if I remember.
Yeah, so I really like Collins here to just kind of play that pounding ground game with the Steelers on the road. And with that, with AB, Ben was talking at the beginning of the year how he and Antonio like weren't on the same page, and they didn't have their rhythm down. And then this was leading to like Juju. I mean, you watch the games and like it was obvious they weren't on the same page, and it was leading to like him checking down to Juju instead of AB. I guess around game three or four. Basically, he just started force feeding AB, and ever since then, it's like no look back, back to that solid connection that we love in fantasy.
Yep. And then for a fade, I'm probably gonna fade John Brown here. That scares me a little bit, given that if this game does feature offense, that's Baltimore's kind of go-to. They're ace in the hole. They throw it deep to John Brown to get themselves out of, a tough situation. But Joe Hayden is starting to get back into form. That secondary also got Mike Hilton back. That helps them out. So I'd expect Hayden to be able to neutralize John Brown for the most part. Okay, the Bears visiting the Bills. Ooh, 37.5. Quite the total there. Bears favored by 9.5. That's an interesting betting situation because a double digit win under 40 points is just like really hard to do in the NFL. That led a lot of people to bet the Bills when they played the Vikings earlier this season, when the total was like 40.5 and they were, the Vikes were 14 point favorites, I believe, something like that. 14, 15. It's just really hard to do mathematically, over a large enough sample. So, another one here that's kind of in that same vein, but Nathan Peterman drawing a start against the Bears defense. So turnovers could abound. I don't like messing with the Bills at home. They, they're stingy. They play better defense at home. You saw them give New England a little bit of trouble for part of the game. So many field goals last night. The Bears offense, though, they're humming. So you got two teams with momentum here on one side of the ball. They're gonna definitely clash. As far as a lock, definitely can't lock any Bills, so I'm going to have to lock a Bear. I think you got to lock Mitchell Trubisky, as kind of crazy as that is. And the reason I'm comfortable doing that is that he's getting it done with his legs as well. And when you add rushing yards to a quarterback's passing total, it just gives him such a solid floor. So I'm okay locking old Mechie Poo in. Any thoughts on that, Jason?
Nah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. His rushing has been really good. On top of his, you know, touchdown production, he's not really throwing the ball a whole lot. 110 attempts, and it's pretty much average over the last 3 weeks. But 7 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, which is you know, a little bit above average, but 179 rushing yards is the most by any quarterback over the last 3 weeks. I mean, that's more 35 more yards than Cam Newton even on 6 less attempts. So yeah, I really like that, especially against the Bills.
All right, and then what about a sleeper?
Oh man, first sleeper. This another game that really sets up to be kind of a Jordan Howard game, kind of like when I was talking about Alex Collins and Buck Allen. Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen as another split. Tariq Cohen being like the crazy gadget player, but Jordan Howard still out snapping, out touching him.
Yeah, and I'm glad you went there, because Cohen is who I had eyed up for a fade. You know, he scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
One pass for 70 yards or 60 yards.
Yeah, it was a 70-yard touchdown right at the beginning of the game.
Yeah. So, like, that's, you know, people who are cruising box scores are going to see, like, oh, that's good production. But
yeah, Jordan Howard's out snapping him, out touching him. He's just more involved in the offense. I don't know
Howard
why
is so
they
due
went
for a big game.
Yeah, and Jordan Howard, whenever people like go to sleep on him, I remember his rookie year.
Yep.
I was like, he had like a little stretch where
he was right around this time.
Yeah, where he was like doing nothing, and then he played like Minnesota, and like when Minnesota was like, you know, tops, you know, number one run defense in the league. And I was just like, man, I'm done with this dude. And I dropped him, and he went off for like 200 yards and 2 touchdowns that game against the best run defense in the league.
That was a crazy game.
But I really like Jordan Howard. And he's cheaper than Tariq Cohen, too, which is like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Especially on FanDuel. I guess I could see it a little bit more on DK. But.
Right. All right,
I don't know
then,
why
like,
not,
like I said, I Cohen is the fade for me.
Why isn't Jordan Howard catching passes anymore?
He was doing it
and doing it well at the beginning of the season, and then it's just like you see his like targets go down. It was like 5, 4, 3, 2. Never mind.
Yeah.
You know,
I think Nagy's got a little bit of that Andy Reid in him, where he's got a specific thing in mind for the game or a specific set of things that he wants to utilize. And it's some games it's Tariq Cohen in the passing game. You got Taylor Gabriel, you know, sucking up a lot of those short targets as well. Obviously, Trey Burton had a breakout a couple weeks ago, so that could come back around. You know, even Kareem Hunt was not getting very many targets in the Andy Reid coaching tree for a bit there, so could come back around. All right, then we've got the L.A. Chargers visiting the Seahawks in Seattle. 48 is the over-under. The Seahawks are a 1.5-point favorite. Interesting line there. If the Seahawks don't win this past weekend, I'm not sure that they're a favorite coming into this. The Chargers weren't great in London, but, you know, don't put much stock in London performances to begin with.
Melvin Gordon was good.
What's that?
Melvin Gordon was good.
Yeah, he's back from the hammy, right?
Yeah, he should be back.
So, you know, that's it's not an easy place to go in and play, but as long as the hammy is good, and we haven't really gotten any indication that it's not, you got to lock Melvin Gordon in. He's just been a touchdown machine. He's involved in the passing game. they may give Eckler a little extra run just to ease Gordon's workload here, coming off of the injury. But it didn't seem serious. He was out there trying to give it a go before the game, even 2 weeks ago. So I would lock Melvin Gordon in. What do you have for a sleeper, Jason?
Man, I'm probably just gonna go right back to David Moore.
I was gonna ask
He
you.
actually topped if you go and look at Jeremy's wide receiver cornerback matchups, David Moore had the highest matchup rating on that. And I was like, I don't know if I want to play David Moore. And I didn't, and that was a mistake.
Yep. Get those tools, people.
Yeah, he's got what, a touchdown in each of the last three games.
And this happens like every year. Like there's always some random Seahawk receiver that pops for a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was Jimmy Graham last year where he had like 10 straight weeks with a touchdown. You know, he
Right.
started the year poorly, ended the year poorly, but that middle stretch, it was just like touchdown, touchdown, guaranteed touchdown every week, pretty much. And that kind of looks like what's happening with David Moore here. Russell has thrown like 9 touchdowns in his last 54 completions, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he keeps up that kind of efficiency, then Baldwin's not really getting that much production. Lockett is fine, but
Yeah, he's touchdown dependent.
give me the cheap dot guy that's getting touchdown looks every week.
And he's such a non-brand name. I don't feel like people are gonna chase the touchdowns here. Usually, if somebody scores multiple touchdowns, it's like the next week they're just people are chasing it. And I feel like with David Moore, that won't happen.
Yeah, well, they're going to go down, and then they're going to click on DJ Moore instead, because DJ Moore is above David Moore. So,
Right. As far as a fade. Tough to do, given the proclivity this offense has for throwing touchdowns to tight ends. But Ed Dixon came back last week. People were a little bit excited for that. I wouldn't say they were too jazzed, but Nick Vannett has been kind of a nothing, and Ed Dixon, people are saying that this guy is they're going to be their tight end, and he manages to score a touchdown. So, but he's still Ed Dixon. Like, he's just an okay tight end. He's a better blocker. They want to run the ball there. I don't see Ed Dixon scoring a touchdown this week again. So he would be a fade.
yeah, two targets, two
Yeah.
receptions.
Yep. Yeah, right. Houston visiting the Broncos. Interesting the teams that are getting ready to play each other this week pulled off a trade. I guess Demarius doesn't need to rent a hotel room,
Yeah.
although he probably had to fly down today to get in some practices. Turn right back around. 46 is the over/under. Denver is a 1-point favorite. Interesting, they're a 1-point favorite. I know, being the home team earns you a couple of points automatically. I still feel like this is more of a pick'em. Maybe that's what Vegas is saying about what they think of the Texans.
Yeah, like I said to Quaffo last week or week before, whenever you missed, whenever you were out of
Yeah,
town,
last week, yep.
the any really anything like under 3 points, I pretty much consider just a pick 'em. I mean, if
Right.
it's so.
Yeah, all right, as far as a lock, I think Philip Lindsay has shown that even with competition from the other backs, he's still going to get his he's the hardest runner out of the group. He can catch the ball. I know Booker had a fairly big snap share. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Royce Freeman, whether he'll be active or not, but Lindsey has kind of cemented his role as the lead dog in that backfield. So, not too expensive this week, and he's a good bet in my eyes. What about a sleeper, Jay?
Where do you think they're going to move? Where do you think Denver is going to move these wide receivers around to? Do you think they're going to keep Manny Sanders in his spot and just move Courtland Sutton over, or?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think Sanders has been so effective. You don't really want to mess with that too much.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
John Elway was apparently talking up Tim Patrick. So I don't really know anything about Tim Patrick. I just kind of caught that blurb. So I guess it'll be something to monitor as practices go, whether he's lining up in Demaryius's old spot or if Manny is.
Yeah, I'll just go Courtland Sutton. This is the trade that we've been kind of waiting for, just to unleash Courtland Sutton. It's still the week of the rookie wide receivers. If Houston can manage to put up some points without Will Fuller, they seem to struggle. Deshaun Watson seems to struggle a little bit without his speedster, sometimes, but he's still got DeAndre Hopkins. Some people might have heard of him, that helps out when you have a wide receiver like that to put up some points. But yeah, I really like Courtland Sutton, this week and until he's at least as much as Manny Sanders is in price.
And then a fade for me would be Demaryius Thomas. Going to a new team, a new playbook, got to get some chemistry with the quarterback. Coming with a short week of practice here, I would expect him to at least have some kind of limit on the amount of snaps he plays. He's a professional. He's definitely one of the guys who's a hardworking veteran. I think he'll pick up faster than most, but it's a lot to ask a guy to come in. I think, given that it's a game against the Broncos, people are going to chase that narrative. Oh, like instant revenge game. Like this is the ultimate revenge game. He got traded literally this week. And it's possible, sure, maybe if things if there's some offense, he's likely to catch a touchdown. He's a good red zone target.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if he doesn't play. I mean,
I
because
feel like
it's, I mean,
they're going to
it's
have him out there for they're going to install a package for him and say, here's
like
what you need to
maybe,
learn.
but I mean, what kind of practice time is he going to get with the team? I mean, it's Tuesday, so he got traded today. So even if he flew down there, this afternoon at like whatever noon, that's only like an hour or two, and then you just gotta fly back tomorrow. So. Yeah, like maybe get him out there and be like, hey, just like go run a post route or something. But I don't really see him being that involved at all on the short week.
So that's not something I want to chase. All right, game of the week here. The Rams are seeming in a game of the week every single week. They are visiting the Saints. 60 is the number. I don't know if we've seen 60 in a little bit here for a couple weeks. But these are the two teams that can get it done. Going to be heavily owned on both sides. The Saints' run defense has actually been pretty good, but obviously that's not going to scare anyone off of Todd Gurley. The Rams, their defense has been so-so. You like a lot of the options at home here for the Saints. A lock. I would have considered Breeze if it weren't for what they were doing with the running game. They're kind of getting back to that thing they did last year where they were just gonna run the ball and commit to it with their two backs and kind of take some of the air out of Breeze's sails. See what I did there? And then so that That would lead me to probably saying Gurley is the guy you'd have to lock in out of all the fantasy goodness in this game. He scores too many touchdowns. You know, even with only one touchdown last week, the yardage productions were insane. What would you put out as a sleeper in this one? There's not too many avenues to go sleeper wise because
if Cooper Kupp's playing, I'm going to Cooper Kupp. PJ yeah. Williams is the slot corner, and yep. For the Saints and last week. So this is like a talented wide receiver core that's similar to the makeup of the Vikings wide receiver core. And if you go back and watch last week's game, it wasn't that Adam Thielen or Stephon Diggs had like great games. It was just that Kirk Cousins, they were moving those wide receivers around, and even Laquon Treadwell, they were just moving them around, and whoever was on PJ Williams got the target.
I tweeted out that PJ Williams was a semi-permeable membrane.
Yeah. So Cooper Kupp plays the slot the most. McVay said he should be good to go this week. So if he goes, give me all the Cooper Kupp. If he doesn't go, it doesn't matter. Give me either one of the other two guys because
Woods probably sees more of the slot.
Yeah, but I mean McVay's gonna do the exact same thing. He's a smart dude. He'll watch last week's game and go, oh yeah, and he'll just move the wide receivers around until he gets one of them on PJ Williams and just tell Goff to throw it there.
And then you got Tre'Quan Smith there as well, filling in the Ted Ginn role. And the rule is if the Saints are, you know, high 50s or 60s, if the total is that and they're at home, you play Ted Ginn. So Tre'Quan Smith, yep. I think just that same rule applies. He's a nice price. He's had a couple of less than stellar performances on the road. Getting back at home here should be nice.
Week of the rookies.
Yeah.
It was rookie running backs like 2 weeks ago, and it's all the wide receivers. Let's go.
And as far as a fade, I don't know if you can fade anyone in this one. The tight ends, like these teams don't use their tight ends. We can fade them, I guess.
What about Taysom Hill?
He should be a fade for Sean Payton, but I guess he likes what he's doing with him. All right, moving on. We've got Green Bay facing the Patriots. I believe this is the Sunday night game. So little showdown slate action here for you. Green Bay kind of sending a message to the team, shipping Ty Montgomery off, saying, stay in line or else. Patriots short week coming off of a hard-fought Monday contest. As far as a lock, you could lock in either quarterback here. The Pats have to throw it a little more than they typically do, given Sony Michel's knee issue. Chance that he plays this week, but even if he does, I don't think they probably want to abuse him in the running game. So Brady should see a good number of attempts and that equal production. And same thing on the other side. Rodgers is he's Aaron Rodgers, so that's a lock in any positive situation. What do we got sleeper wise?
Gonna go with I don't think there's really a whole lot sleeper-ish on either one of these teams. Mm-hmm. But I do like Aaron Jones. I still think he's a terrible football player, but a great running back, terrible football player. But if the Patriots at home, they're going to be, they put up points, especially at home. Green Bay would have won that game last week if Ty Mont had just done what he was supposed to and just go with the touchback and not fumbled the ball away.
Yeah, at least had a shot to win.
Yeah, man, I lost my dynasty league by 1 point, and I had Jimmy Graham and Devontae Adams in my lineup. So it's like that is pretty much a guaranteed 1 point with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that had Rodgers too that were like, I needed him to literally just get the ball. That was it.
Yeah.
If he gets the ball back, I get a couple more points and I'm solid.
In that league, I also had I had Gostkowski. So I guess Gostkowski missed that field goal. So yeah. I like had so many opportunities to win and lost by 1 point.
How many field goals do you want him to kick, Jason? You know, he's tired. He's kicking
all
field
of
goals
them.
The whole game.
If he's going to attempt it, he needs to make it. He's Steven Gostkowski.
Yep.
So Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I like that one. He should get a little more snaps with Montgomery being gone, and the Patriots could be run on. What's going on with Josh Gordon? Because, you know, there was the whole he was late, he's going to be disciplined, and then both Belichick and Gordon were like, oh, you'd have to talk to the person who made that report because we don't know what's going on.
Dude,
Rappaport's been burned a bunch of times this year. Like, he always does. He always gets burned. I'm convinced that teams feed him, you know, bad info on purpose just to, like, mess with other teams. And the Pats are definitely not beyond that. But, like,
no.
If anything comes from Rappaport, I'm not seeing another person putting it out there. I'm always just like, nah, you can get me a real source, or you can continue just making stuff up if you want. But is there any validity to them being unhappy with Gordon in your eyes?
I don't think so.
They made him play every freaking snap, so.
Yeah, I mean, Tom's done nothing but praise him, and you know, they Tom throws him the ball, and he's got a pretty good amount of the target share there. So, yeah, Tom doesn't throw the ball to people he doesn't like,
right.
You know, he just doesn't.
Just ask Dwayne Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I think, ask Philip Dorsett, who's been there for 2 years now and has, like, eight targets in 2 years. I love having Josh Gordon on the Patriots, and I think Tom likes having a legit weapon like that on the team too. So
he still needs his first touchdown as a Patriot, right?
I believe so. I think he just has the that one from
balls.
that one from week one.
Yeah, this would be a good spot for it, that the Packers secondary is beatable. They just traded Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Yeah, I just saw that. A little while ago.
How do you trade, like, you know, a top five safety in the middle of a playoff push? I just don't get that. Off season, okay, like maybe you know, you think you've got the depth, but you know that could really bite the Packers in the ass, and I would love to see that because their front office is so much BS like this. Like he's you know, they probably talked contract renewal with him. They didn't like where he was at, so they, you know, we're gonna trade you. You get a fourth rounder. Good luck replacing, you know, a first round safety with a fourth round pick. Josh Gordon, it'd be a great spot for a Josh Gordon day. And then as far as a fade, I'm a big Marquez Valdez-Scantling fan, but I would fade him given that Cobb's probably going to get more involved, getting healthier, and you know, chasing touchdowns has been a theme this whole show. I don't see MVS getting the targets he needs to produce for you fantasy wise.
I just got an alert from the Sleeper app saying that Brandon Powell has been pegged as the replacement to Golden Tate as the Lions slot receiver.
Okay.
So that might be a name to keep an eye on.
All right.
Brandon Powell
on the TJ Jones front, but
yeah.
All right, Monday night affair between the Titans and the Cowboys. 40.5 is the over under. Dallas 6.5 point favorite. Vegas really giving them credit for the home field advantage there. I like the Titans side, given that, but you know, they're coming off the bye, so hopefully they've got some of their offensive issues fixed. Defense has been playing pretty well. As far as a lock, I think there's only one guy you could consider a lock in this whole thing, and that would be Ezekiel Elliott. That's a pretty much a no-brainer. Who do you like as a sleeper, Jason?
Yeah, I don't know. Both these defenses have been playing pretty well. Dallas's defense has really, really come on.
Yeah, their secondary's solid. They got a decent pass rush.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's what they need if they want to play. Zeke 30 touches and just slow the game down. You got to have that solid defense. It really looks like they're coming together with that. A terrible way to play football, but that's besides the point. Man, I really don't like. Can we just
Tajae Sharpe, maybe Jonnu Smith. Like, could he finally get into the? Like, Jonnu Smith has gotten, I think, no more than three targets in a single game. Like, that has to change at some point.
what about Taywan Taylor in the slot?
I like Taywan. He's got the big playability.
Yeah, he'll probably he sh I mean he should get targets. Man, this is such a nasty game. Why is this a primetime game? Oh, because it's Dallas. Oh
America's
my God.
team. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
been a
probably.
running theme this year. People are very sick of Dallas in prime time spots.
Oh man. Yeah, probably. I'll probably just go Taywan Taylor. In the slot, just short dump off passes. They gotta reestablish Mariota. Coming off that elbow injury, like he just really has not looked the same. And yeah, this is going to be such a nasty game. This is probably one showdown slate I probably won't play.
Yeah, it's just there's not a lot of places to go. I mean, Amari Cooper, you know, he had the bye week to get synced up, but Dallas just doesn't have aggression throwing the ball.
Yeah, what are you gonna get? Like, I mean, maybe 40 completions out of this entire, like 60
Right.
attempts from both sides with 40 completions, maybe. Like that's just it's like full fade on the passing game. But being the Monday night game, then it's a single game slate, so you kind of have to go somewhere.
I do still have doubts about the Titans' secondary. I know they've been better, so maybe it's an Amari blow-up spot.
If they just try and feature him, like,
Yeah, like,
just be like, here's your first game, like, prime time, like, and
and
just.
maybe Dak finally has a little confidence in a receiver, like to catch a ball and get open. So maybe there's something there. I don't know.
But the only, I mean, they're talking about, like, oh, Amari Cooper is, like, the number one. Like, Amari Cooper would be better. Like, if he moved inside, or if he was like
Right.
a slot flanker, like,
He is effective out of the slot.
and like these teams, they just want to make him like Julio Jones, and he's not Julio Jones. Like he never will be that type of receiver. And I don't know why these. Of course, when you, I mean, he's obviously a first round talent, and still, apparently, according to Dallas. So, that's typically the type of wide receiver you want with your first round pick is a Julio Jones type, a DJ Moore, a Courtland Sutton, that type of guy. And I don't know why teams just won't realize that Amari Cooper's not that type of receiver.
Right. Dallas really missed the boat on Sutton. Like, he was just there for the taking. He was such a perfect fit. He's a big physical receiver. Does everything they want. I don't know what they were thinking there.
I don't know what they were thinking trading for Amari Cooper, a first round
Yeah.
pick. I mean,
Especially
you saw.
given that DT went for a fourth rounder. Like, you could
Yeah.
have had Tate or DT for a fourth rounder. You panicked given that you had the bye week and
Could have got both of them and still been in better,
yeah.
third round for one, fourth round for the other, and then you've got like a top line wide receiver unit,
right,
with Zeke, like,
yeah.
Nope, first round pick, Amari Cooper.
Yeah. And I was actually convinced that DT was going to Dallas. I traded Michael Gallup in a dynasty today, and he's still kind of dead to me in dynasty, given the, you know, I don't see much changing in Dallas in the next couple of years. So
yeah.
As far as a fade, Corey Davis has had the volume, but he just hasn't gotten it done. I don't think that changes this week. Dallas has been pretty effective as a secondary at taking away teams' number one options. So I'd love to see it. I own him in a couple dynasties, but
yeah, we talked about him at the beginning of the year, how we both thought that, like, maybe this, not this year, but like next year.
Right.
Next year should be his year, but
yeah, I mean, so many Titans shares of in best ball and other places. I'd love to see them, you know, just go in and really get a good performance here in Jerry World, but not the best prospects. So that's what we got time for this week. Jason, good stuff. Thanks for being on. Quaffo, hope you're back next week, my man. You can get all of our content by going to patreon.com/lineuplogic, becoming a subscriber, $10 a month. No commitment. You sign up for month by month, and you know, if you don't like it, yeah, you don't have to keep it. But the tools we mentioned earlier, Jeremy Lopez, Take No Days Off, putting out great tools. We do the cheat sheet each week. You get NBA, you get NFL. I do a little MMA content. There's guys who talk EPL, NHL. Even a little tennis has popped up here and there. So the Slack chat is invaluable, a place to bounce ideas off people. So check it out. Otherwise, good luck this week, everyone, and may the sports be with you.